Hi, I'm Skeet Reese from Auburn, California.
We're going to do the psychiatrist's couch version of the No Limits podcast. So we're getting you a day after your qualifying round on Lake Fork, where you had a pretty memorable final 18 minutes of competition. And I say psychiatrist's couch because you came as close as you could come.
Yeah.
And didn't quite make the cut. But what an 18 minute flurry.
See, if I knew you were going to go there this morning, I wouldn't have done this.
That's why I didn't tell you what we were going to talk about until just now.
It was a fast paced last 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And if I had known that I was going to get that close, that quick, and it was actually, mm-hmm. I mean, I lost in that 18 minute span, I lost a giant one that would have put me over the top. So not only did I catch all those giants, I lost a giant.
So what happened? I mean, all of a sudden you just landed on a magic spot, or
the conditions
kind of fell into place? Or
I think I just got in an area, the fish were there, they hadn't been pressured. I had looked at it like the last half hour of practice on day two out at the mouth of this creek. There's two little pockets, and I just went in and blazed through, looked, I saw a couple bed fish, but I'm looking at the way the wind direction was and all that. I said, this creek right here sets up good. And, you know, there was about three creeks in a row that all looked good. Like they set up right. And, not the big main creeks that everybody's going back into. And, so I'm thinking, all right, this is good. I wound up spending a lot more time in the first creek that I started in than I intended to. So it didn't leave me as much time to get over to the next pocket. I wish I got over this sooner, because I think you gave me another 10 or 20, 30 minutes. I mean, there's no telling what I would have caught, because it seemed like every good spot I pulled, I mean, there was a big one. And oh my gosh. So, it was in my strategy, my plan for the day, but it just started lining up. But then he's like, you got 2 minutes left. So I'm like on trolling motor. I got the ghost on high. I get around two docks to get over to something that looks kind of spawny and throw up to. And I was like, jack pull a six something in the boat with 12 seconds left. And
6 pounds, 3 ounces to be
six,
exact.
Three. Yeah. Six, yeah. Three with my last cast of the day. Which is fun. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Only fish I lipped all day was the 8 pounder. So the rest of it, I think my boat fish was like, yeah, because fives and sixes, I'm just boat flipping them, and it was fun.
Let's go ahead and rewind for those of you who don't know exactly what we're talking about. So you finished 21st. You were out of the cut by four pounds, which seems like a lot, but when you describe what you just talked about, not far at all.
No,
really.
Four pounds here is like a 2 pounder.
Yeah,
most.
Yeah, one more fish. Basically, in your estimation, if you had another 15 minutes.
Yeah, it would have been game
over. Would it have taken you 15 minutes to catch 4 pounds, you think?
Probably not.
Let's talk about this exact. So at 5:42, remember, we're fishing from 10 to 6 this week, which is 5:42 seems later than usual.
That's PM, people.
5:42 PM, you catch a 4 pound 6 ouncer. At 5:54, you catch a 2.9. At 5:56, you catch a 5.1. And then as time expires at 6 p.m., you catch a 6.3. Like, quick math, that's 18 and some change in 18 minutes. So a pound a minute, basically. Have you ever done that before? I mean, that's a lot in a very short amount of time.
Well, I don't know. I can't say that I've...
That's pretty spectacular.
I mean, I've had...
That's pretty cool.
I mean, I've had runs on Clear Lake where you
can... Oh, true.
You know,
right.
Catch...
Yeah.
A bunch of big ones in a row, but our format in Major League Fishing, I've never done it before.
Yeah.
To come from that far behind and also rally up. And
yeah,
it was like, wow, it was fun. It was intense.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it's not like I was joyous and happy at the time. I mean,
no.
I'm hurrying up trying to get every bite I can. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't even know I came that close until, you know, time was up, and I asked my boat official. I was like, all right, where did it end up? And he just looks at me and goes, 21st. I'm like, oh, just kicked me in the groin. That was a boom. Like, oh, That's the worst spot to finish.
That's tough. So I didn't know this until I got a text somewhere between where I was and the ramp. I didn't really realize. The last I'd looked, you were in the 30s. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, you were what I thought was out of range. But it just goes to show you when you're on a fishery like Lake Fork, which you had never fished before, which I was surprised by that. I didn't realize that you hadn't fished the TTVCs here. I'd never been here before. And we'll get around to your impressions of this fishery, but it just goes to show how quickly a guy can collect 18 pounds of largemouth bass in a fishery like this.
It was quick. And I mean, it within that time frame.
Yeah.
So I missed. So I think it was at 2-something I caught.
Mm-hmm.
And because I made a cast up to a twig and it made a long cast. So I'm trolling motors on high and I'm just bombing out there. Mm-hmm. And I catch that 2-something. And these are the things that stand out now. As you look at the moments that just the opportunities. But then my next cast was to the left side of that twig and I hook a beast and it just runs out the deep water and comes undone. Oh, and I'm like, wow. That was the female.
Oh gosh.
And but then like 3 casts later or 4 casts later, I catch a 5 and so there was it was shoulda, woulda, coulda. I mean, and I'd go back in earlier in the day in the second period that going down a bank and there's some buck brush and I bring my swim bait over it, just a limb, and I watch a 5-pounder just come up and eat it on the surface. And when you just one of those stupid things, when you see him eat it, they come out and you set too soon instead of waiting for him to load up. And so I hooked him, his head comes up and comes undone, or she or whatever it was. But and then I missed, I don't know, I missed some other bites. But where are we going with this? I don't know.
I'm just letting you get it all out. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, man, you should have heard me in the truck when I got off the water last night.
Imagine, yeah.
Yeah, I was.
All right. So your biggest fish was an 8-pound, 3-ouncer, yeah. which has to make you feel good for heavy hitters.
That was, yeah, it that's like the only thing I'm taking out of this week. Well, two things. It's like, all right, I finally went out and I made good decisions on a day of fishing. So I haven't I haven't had one yet this season, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. So I fished well. I fished, I'm happy about how I performed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that the biggest thing is that, yeah, the heavy hitters is that I knew I had to have at least an 8 this week to help move me into contention for heavy hitters. And
do you want an update?
Yeah, I want an update. I know it's going to change today.
Of where you stand at this very moment. Now, this is not granted. I mean, just as soon as I say this, it'll be a little bit inaccurate. However, as of this moment, you're 39th, a pound out. So,
well, I figured it'd probably be between 30th and 40th.
Consider coming into it, your two biggest fish were a 3.2 and a 4.9. So you,
yeah.
So you bettered your total of the first two events. So you did what you needed to do basically to get yourself back into that.
So I needed a 9 really, but
you know, I wouldn't complain about
it. 10 would have been really good.
Yeah.
So I'm a pound out right now. Now, obviously, that can change. We got some guys still fishing.
Yeah, less than a pound. You're less than a pound out. You're 14 ounces out, basically. But you're right there.
Okay. So I got to go catch. I got to go catch an 8.
Well, you kind of have to hold serve. So the way that this is starting to pan out, you have to average over 5 pounds per fish for heavy hitters.
Right.
So, I mean, a 7 wouldn't hurt. 7 wouldn't be bad. At least you have a goal in mind now.
7,
least,
yeah. So at least you have 7 or better at Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Grand, a 5 or better.
A 5 or better, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I'm just going to swing a big stick.
Let's put it this way. You're in a lot better position today than you were at this time yesterday morning.
That is good.
Yeah,
for sure. So that is that's the one highlight yesterday.
Yep. Like, all right. How do you feel about this heavy hitters thing? Like,
I'm excited about it. Yeah, it's fun. It's added a whole new element and twist to a tournament season than we've ever fished for
in
my 20 some odd years on doing this.
Yep.
It's not just the, well, I mean, there's a ton of money up for grabs at the heavy hitters.
Lots of money.
There's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to go just focus on one big bite, if you get there.
Yeah. How about that? With one bite, you could at a minimum earn $100,000. If you make it to the championship round and you get a big fish, it's $100,000.
Yeah.
But consider this. If you catch big fish in the championship, there's a pretty fair chance you could win the event as well, which is another $100,000.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all.
That's it. I know. Yeah. That's why everybody's super excited about it. That's also why everybody is super excited that Bobby Lane didn't catch anything last event, because he's trying to get into heavy hitters now. Of course, Bobby lives there, and nobody wants to fish against Bobby
Lane. No, they don't. So from that standpoint, yeah, I think all the anglers are excited. It's just a new twist. It's something, you know, I'm hoping that we can find a way to have the event again the following season.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's just one of those things, circumstances, the way it lined up with tournament schedules allowed us to do it this year.
Yep.
So if it's as successful as we're all making it right now, we're hoping that our management team is going to find a way find a way to make this event happen, you know, every year from this point on.
Do you want to take a guess at who is currently at this moment leading heavy hitters? Just take a guess.
Jason Christie.
No, because remember, he didn't catch fish the first event.
Yeah, he's screwed.
So he helped himself.
He did.
He helped himself. He catch a 10-4.
Yeah, that helped. That's like a 5 each event. I don't know.
It's Randall Tharp.
Ah.
Yeah.
What's his 3 tournament weight?
His heaviest on stage 1 was a 5.8, a 5.6, and a 9.15 here at Lake Fork.
So he was at 20
points. 20 pounds and 13 ounces.
Yeah, 20, yep. 21 pounds, 3 events, 3 fish.
7 pounds of fish, roughly. It's pretty impressive.
That is. Yeah. That's solid.
Yeah. Well, and so you take a look back at the performance of this fishery in general this week. We've seen the record go down 2 times. Christie caught a 10-4 on day 1. Atkins caught a 10-8.
I know.
Day 2. There was Randall's 9-15. There was a couple of other 9s, handful of 8s, 7s, 6s, 5s. I mean, this is a great fishery.
Absolutely. I've heard about it for years, and that's why everybody was shocked that I've never fished here before.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been on the lake one time. Well, I've been in one pocket one time here in my entire career.
Yeah.
And that was the day after I won the Classic. I came here to do a photo shoot.
that's your entire.
And yeah. So I was on a trolling boat. I was just doing it where I just had photos, stage photos and all that right in the creek. So that's the only time I've been on a lake. So I'd never actually fished it. And then I never participated in the TTBCs. So that was just, you know, it was a bonus event just in time away from family. So it wasn't my cup of tea. So
let's give me your analysis of Lake Fork then as a fishery.
As a fishery, what's one hell of a fishery? I mean, it's got some hammers in here. Mm-hmm. My first day of practice, my first 2 fish was a 9 and a 6. Back-to-back
those
calf.
Are the first.
That was my first 2 fish.
15 pounds and 2 calves.
Yeah. I was like, all right, this is pretty good. I got this. Then it got a lot slower because I practiced. I think I was getting 5 to 7 bites a day. It wasn't a lot, but it's so different because it's a slot lake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those fish are protected between 16 and 24 inches. So, you know, you want to keep fish to eat. You can't keep one over 16 inches, which people still do catch and eat.
They do.
And then catching one over 24 is that's quite a challenge.
Yeah.
That's a big old fish.
Yeah, it is.
You know, most 8-9 pounders don't even come close to 24 inches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got this whole brood of fish that they're protected.
Yeah.
You can catch them, but they got to go back. And so they've been... Yeah, it's just got a healthy population. And I think a lot of it had to do, part of it, was when the lake had grass for most of its life.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Until maybe 8 or 9 years ago, I guess they killed the grass off. Yep. But that strain of fish is still in here. Hopefully it'll continue to, be a great fishery. If they ever put grass back in the lake, it'll be 1,000 times better again.
Yeah, yeah. Would you like to come back here next season?
Hell yeah,
season
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because after yesterday, I was like, oh. Yeah. That was, it started coming together yesterday a little bit. I'm like,
Yeah. That has to feel good, you know, because I know you were not pleased with your first 2 events. I mean, you're, kind of cranky about it.
Kind of cranky?
Kind of cranky, yeah.
I'm giving you credit.
I'm giving you credit for
like pissed off. Okay, like, yeah, right, I don't take it lightly.
No, I
don't know if that's just because I'm so hard on myself or I'm that competitive. I don't know what it is, but it's when I don't perform well, it. Yeah, you see me clenching over here. But it's not just from two events. I look back, you know, my last season. Mm-hmm. First season Bass Pro Tour, I didn't perform good all last season. I contributed that to, you know, a lot of pressures and anxieties of making sure the tour, you know, that what we're doing out here is the right thing. And I think I made two knockout rounds last year. I didn't make any money. That's for sure. And all of a sudden, I fished all entire season last year, only making the cut twice.
Got it.
Yeah. And then we start two events into it, three events into it now. I still haven't made a knockout round.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, this is my track record really sucks right now on this. But yesterday definitely like confirmed that I still know how to catch a bass.
Yeah, right.
I did it.
Feels good.
I did it, Mom.
So as we look forward to the rest of the schedule, I mean, of course, heavy hitters is the big moment everybody's looking forward to. But you go ahead and just extrapolate down the line. We have really cool fisheries, good fisheries, and that's sort of been the key, the difference maker. There was a lot of chat about the 2-pound variable minimum. Nobody's even talking about 2-pound fish right this moment. I mean, we're all talking about 8-pounders, 9-pounders, 10-pounders, because that's what swims in the fishery we're on now. And as we leave here and move forward to the other fisheries we're going to, maybe not quite as dramatically huge as here, but still great fisheries, which is kind of the key to everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. So according to some of the guys, Oklahoma guys, we're going to Grand at like the best possible week there is that time of year. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
I'm hoping.
And that fishery is one that, because of Lake Fork and because of Eufaula and because of the places that we've been, people are just not necessarily paying a lot of attention yet to Grand Lake, but that may be the sneakiest good fishery that we have on the first.
I'm hoping so, because my past on Grand and how I perceive it, it has never been a great fishery. Mm-hmm. For me.
For you.
You know, like, we've seen some good bags caught there. It gets a ton of fishing pressure.
Yep.
But I do know they live in there.
Absolutely. That's a good one. He'll tell you.
I don't think there's probably hasn't been a bass caught up in that river again since they cleaned him out of there.
Yeah.
But it is a lake where the potential of a 25-pound bag's there, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's where also, you know, it's one of those deals you catch in, you know, 2-pounders, and that'll be one where there's gonna be a lot of pound and a halfers caught that, you know, that aren't gonna count.
Right.
So 2-pounders will be a good, but if it's as good as they say that that's the best time of year to actually catch the most possible fish that we're gonna extract from that lake, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
And be able to fish it in different ways.
Right.
So the guys that want to fish shallow can. I'm sure there's gonna be some post spawners, guys want to go fish post spawn out on a ledge somewhere. That's going to be starting to come into play. But as long as I catch more than everybody else, that's all I want. that's all that matters.
Right. And then we finish with three northern fisheries. Like we go to Wisconsin, then we go to the St. Lawrence, and then we go to Champlain. I mean, so the biggest X factor mystery there, of course, is in Wisconsin, because not many people really know too much about Winnebago. Like, we were there last year and we fished it, but it's still pretty much a mystery to most of our guys.
It is. The
two after that, though, the St. Lawrence and Lake Champlain, are far from a mystery. You guys have competed on those two fisheries for a long time. And they're great fisheries. They're great fisheries. The St. Lawrence could break whatever records we have.
That's going to be interesting. St. Lawrence, I'm going to back up. So Wisconsin is Winnebago.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing is, last year we were confined to Winnebago.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, you know, knockout round in another lake, finals in another lake. So the way I understand it this year is all lakes are in play
for the first four rounds.
For the first four rounds. which is going to open up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then, because mm-hmm. there's some good largemouth fish in there. Yep. You know, and from what I heard and know is that the smallmouth did not show themselves the way they.
No, we had we had terrible weather too. Yeah. Like we had.
Brutal. So I don't know if smallmouth could beat largemouth there. That's going to be it's going to be interesting to see. Yeah. But guys are going to be all spread out, you know, because we were pretty much on top of each other last time we were there. Mm-hmm. So there's, a lot more water to fish. So that one's exciting because I think that's a place where if you figure it out and you got a good area, you can go catch 20, 30, 40 fish a day probably there, which would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Then St. Lawrence, though, is – St. Lawrence is one of those places, feast or famine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's guys you figure them out. Our format – and this would be maybe the first time St. Lawrence River that largemouth could actually win. Mm-hmm. Because when those guys find those mm-hmm. pockets of largemouth, they're catching 40, 50 a day. I've never caught 40 or 50 smallmouth there a day. I haven't.
Yeah.
But I've never been there that early in the year.
Right. That's also a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah. I mean, they're earlier. I know. They're still... I'm excited about it because there's going to be a lot more fish shallow.
Yep.
So whether they're spawning, they're post spawn, but they're still going to be up on the flat. So whether you want to go throw a swim bait or a spinner bait or whatever, you want to go burn flats and have 5-pound smallmouth just tearing your stuff up. It's like, this is not going to suck. But I've heard guys saying that they've got on some, just bites there where they can catch all the 3-pounders they wanted.
Yeah.
I've never found that, but that were potentially, it could be 150 pounds of smallmouth in a day or even largemouth there. Because those guys that find those bays with the largemouth, I mean, we've seen in the past where they're flipping and frogging, and it's like every other cast, they're jacking one. They're not big ones, but 2 pounds. But it's 2 pounder, 2 pounder, 2 pounder, 2 pounder, 2 pounder. I'm like, and then four and a three and a four, and it's like,
your roommate might be a handful at that fishery.
Yeah, John Murray. Yeah, he has spent some time figuring out the largemouth bite there. He's got some areas that and when you have a good largemouth bite there, I mean, you catch 4 and 5 pounders. But they always say you just can't do it multiple days.
Right,
with a smallmouth. I'm sitting there thinking, it's like, oh, my head's going boom, because we had a tournament there once and I finished fourth, and I was around so many smallmouth it was insane.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was catching 20, 30 a day, and there's no telling how many I saw. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is that you get into a place like that, you could. 100 pounds, no problem. So
look forward to that.
I got me all excited now.
Good, perfect. And then we move on to Champlain, which is the same situation. You're smallmouth, largemouth, which both, either yes, no, because history has proven that you can win it on either there.
Yeah.
In our format, especially.
We're looking at traditional 5-fish limits of the past, more often than not, largemouth.
Correct.
But that's usually getting one or two big days out of largemouth. Mm-hmm. And then, maybe start filling in with some smallmouth.
Yeah.
I think with our format, as much as largemouth will be fun, I think, I'm just guessing smallmouth will prevail. Because, one, I mean, if you, from start to finish, you've got 6 days of competition. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm assuming we're staying on the lake, but I don't know. Maybe they have another lake for finals. I haven't paid attention to that part. So having enough fish to last, if you win your knockout or you win your round, you ought to advance. But to be able to sustain that many days of competition, I think smallmouth would prevail in that situation.
Do you watch the select competitions at all? Have you watched the select competitions at all?
No.
Particularly, have you watched the select on Lake Champlain?
No, but I guess I'm going to now.
I advise everybody listening to this should go watch the select that was held on Lake Champlain.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. It's the perfect example of smallmouth, largemouth, largemouth, smallmouth, whichever. It's just, you should just go watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Note to self.
Note to self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. So anyways, that's a fishery we finish on. That's our regular season finale, is on a fishery that can be spectacular for both species. So
he's still got his grin on his face. I'm like, man, I got to watch this.
It's
like,
so good.
Is it?
It's so good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, both the largemouth and the smallmouth were so good in our format.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Good. All right. Good. I gave some essential viewing for you.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome. Let's go back to this theory of momentum. Is momentum a real thing? Like, so theoretically, you now have, courtesy of an 18-minute stretch, in theory, you have some pretty mad momentum. Can you carry that forward? Is 18 minutes enough to build momentum? Seems like it would be.
Sometimes it only takes a minute.
It's just true. It's kind of hard to define, right?
I hope so. We're going to find out when we get to Raleigh. So,
But it's legit, though?
I don't know. I'm hoping it's a turning point.
Yeah.
I felt like, for me, that's the first time in quite some time that I've actually fished the way I fished and made good decisions. So I'm hoping to run with that and carry that momentum, my 18-minute momentum. to the next tournament.
That's the title of this podcast now. 18 minutes of momentum. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about what you caught your fish on?
Yeah, that's fine.
Should.
Yeah. So I mean, the main bait that I caught most of the big ones on was a 7-inch bass trix. So I'm fishing it on my 7.6 heavy cover rod. Mm-hmm. And I fish on 25-pound trialing 100% fluorocarbon. Mm-hmm. Can't throw it on 20. 20 is way too light.
Okay.
Throwing on a 7-aught trocar swim bait hook, weighted swim bait hook. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty heavy steel. So you need some power to be able to set that hook on a long cast. And skeet reef reel, 6.3:1. But just covering as much water as I could.
Yeah.
I caught a couple of bed fish, looking at them. One on a pit boss, and I think both on a pit boss. But they were stupid, easy fish. They look, you pull up next to them, and they're like, you're 2 feet away from there. They're just looking at you going, like, all right, I got this one. I can actually catch this one.
Yeah.
Because all the other ones I saw were just, man, they were just, you probably could have caught some, but I didn't want to spend an hour trying to catch one.
Yeah.
Not in this format where you're dying.
There's a question for you. How long will you spend on bedfish in this format? This is a survey question. We're going to ask a lot of people this, but you're the first person that I've asked.
I think for this format, you know, looking at, it's based on catch rates. Mm-hmm. I think they'll make your decision.
Okay.
So if the bite's really slow, excuse me, and they're not drilling them and you find a good one, then, you know, okay, I got to spend a little bit more time to get this fish. If it's just ding, 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 score trackers going off and that fish doesn't want to bite in like 5 minutes, you better pull your stuff up and get out of there.
Is it a 5 minute rule for you think?
I was gonna say 10.
Okay.
But I think 5 is probably more realistic.
Whew, man, that's not much time.
No, it's but really I not. My patience level is, I mean, I used, yeah, I mean, I always, I've always been pretty good at sight fishing, but in this format, if they're not locked, ready, loaded, ready to snap. Move on. Now, if it comes back, all of a sudden, you know, it's circumstantial. I find a 10-pounder on a bed. I'm only 4 pounds, you know, out of a cut. And I'm, I jack a 10. Even if it takes me a half hour, then, you know, it's a risk-reward gamble. You'd never know.
How do you...
hey, that's one of the things that makes this format so fun and challenging is that...
Yep.
Because we always know where we stand. In every other tournament out there, you don't know.
Yeah.
I could have, you know, they could all have 10 pounds out there. You don't know. They could have 30 pounds. You don't know. But you see a 10-pounder, you're like, hell no, I ain't leaving. I'm staying here. I'm going to spend 4 hours on this fish, which guys do and done, and they've died on them.
Uh-huh.
But our format, because you know oh, so and so, boink, 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 boink. You're like, beep. It's like wheels come off. It's like, I can't just stay on this fish. You can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you care to know the results of the Who's Tackle Box challenge that we did? So you were the contributor to the Who's Tackle Box this week. You loaded up a plano wedge tackle box with some vibrating jigs and jigs. You threw a couple of kind of curveballs in there. You threw in a mop jig.
Yeah, there's a lot of most of the stuff I put in that box was like homemade, custom made stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, my old driver Jimmy Sparks, he passed away, but he made some bladed jigs for me, and Wade Curtis out west tied some bladed jigs, and there's some old I had like an old Terminator jig from years ago in there.
Yep.
But the mop jig, I would love to look see the looks on everybody's faces when they pulled that out, be like, what in the hell is that?
I'm gonna give you the list of guys who guessed, and I'll let you guess who got it right. So
okay.
We had Alton Jones Jr., Brian Thrift, Mike Iaconelli, Dustin Connell, Randy Howell, Brent Chapman. So there were six guys that I can remember who guessed at it. Can you guess who may have gotten it on?
Well, I heard Dustin answered like in like just a few seconds. So
yeah, which boggles my mind.
Well, that's what stopped by me, because now I was told they think he heard the staff, somebody talking.
That might have been the case.
Yeah,
we may have to do a review of the rules on that one.
Yeah, well, yeah, he needs to go. Yeah, we'll give him a truth verification to see if he heard information on whose tackle box it was.
Mm-hmm. TMI.
Yeah, he had too much. Yeah, he had definitely TMI.
Yeah.
So tell me.
So Chapman, Iaconelli, Howell, Alton Jr., Shaw Grigsby, and Brian Thrift. Those six. There was one guy who got, of that group, there was one guy who got on the first guess.
Not Dustin.
We're throwing Dustin.
Okay, we're Dustin.
We're throwing Dustin out. Because we think he may have
had
too much information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody got on the first guess?
First guess, yeah.
Who?
Randy Howell.
How?
He just did. When he sat down,
he needs to be tested too, because there's no way you could look at that box and say, that's Skeet Reese. There's no way.
This was the first time we've had Randy on this particular segment, and he said, I've always wanted to do this because I think I'm pretty good at this. I think I'll do well at this, and he got it. You did leave.
I did
some Berkeley base. You gave there were some hints.
I did.
There
I
were
left
some hints in there.
I left one hint in there on a swim jig.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Berkeley bait I designed called the Deal.
That's right.
And that was, so I had like my one Berkeley tidbit, and that's why I'm like curious. Did somebody pick up on that? Or that's the only thing in there. It's like, how could you? So that's,
I mean, it is a little bit of guesswork, right? That's still a pretty good stretch to be able to look at that one bait and advance to Skeet Reese.
All right. So next time, note to self, no clues whatsoever. But because, well, like I'm thinking, okay, if I fill it with Berkeley baits or Lucky Craft.
Yeah, it's too
easy. So I'm like, let's do this one. We're like, all right, let's throw some oddball hand homemade stuff. Yeah, I'm like, good job, Randy.
It was a good one. Well, the common commentary was, well, it's a black and yellow box. That's purely circumstantial.
Yeah, Plano made those
tackle
edges just there. That's for me. Right. It's all Skeet Reese.
But it was a good one though. I had to chuckle when you were loading that box up, looking at some of the stuff you're putting in there. I was like, what in the world is that?
Yeah.
Homemade, handmade.
Yeah.
Some really cool stuff.
How did people react to the mop jig? Was there comments to it?
Everybody went straight to it, pretty much. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. So that's a bait. So my buddy Derek Bridges, who lives, out Lake Hartwell area. And he's made a fortune on that around there, throwing mop jigs and all. He ties them. And
explain to the world what a mop jig is, because frankly, not everybody knows what a mop jig is.
A mop jig, just it's as big as a mop.
So it looks like a mop.
It's like the rubber on it is maybe four times the size of traditional rubber. And the way I understand, they don't even make that rubber anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really thick rubber, and the tentacles, the rubber itself is super long. So like when you cut it, you know, it's like that long when you cut it, then you tie it. So your skirt might be as long as 6 inches. So it just has this really big profile, but it helps. I don't know if it looks like it's just a giant crawdad or what, but it slows the fall down too. There's some about it. I mean, and I've used that jig and the on Gunnersville and Clear Lake, and there's a lot of places they eat that jig. It's a lot smaller, or it's a lot bigger profile than, it's kind of like a swim bait of jigs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it's a jig on steroids.
Yeah.
When you look at it, but it's pretty hideous looking. I mean, you're thinking, you pull it out and you're like,
yeah,
there's no way in hell I'm going to throw that thing.
It looks like a koosh ball. You know, those little, those things that your kids have? Koosh ball. Koosh ball. Apparently, you don't know what a koosh ball is.
My kids don't have koosh balls.
Well, all right. Well, it's probably named something else in Northern California. I don't know what it's called, but it's, anyways, let's review quickly here. So 8 pounds, 3 ounces. That was your biggest fish of the season. When's the last time you caught an 8 pounder in competition? 8 pounders are not super common.
Golly. I have no idea. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep.
I've been thinking, because last year at Falls, I think that was a 7-something I caught one day.
Right.
I've never caught an 8 in Major League Fishing.
Yeah.
That I know of.
Yeah. Eights in competition are just not common.
Well, they are this week.
This week, not counting this week. In most competitions, 8 pounders are not that common.
No.
So an 8 pound, 3 ounce is your best. You finish with a 4.6, 2.9, 5.1. You boat flip a 6.3 as the time expires, and you missed one in the middle of that could have advanced you. So an assessment of your week. Let's just give me
the assessment of my week.
Yeah. Describe how you now feel about your week.
I'm still pissed off. I was
hoping to help you through.
No. I thought I was going to be paying you for services, like therapy services here. Maybe I got to go lay on the couch. It's bittersweet. I mean, it goes both ways. I'm pissed that I'm not fishing the knockout round again. Mm. And so I'm disappointed that, you know, okay, I didn't get there. I'm still, you know, I'm looking back at the day yesterday and, you know, picking up on all the little pieces of information that I had when I caught a good one. I'm disappointed I didn't cover more water faster. You know, I tried slowing down at times, maybe trying to catch some bedfish and some calmer water and just throwing some, you know, the weight, you know, it's about a 5-inch or 6-inch weighted general. Be able to catch some of those fish around, and they never did bite. So instead of chasing the pattern that I was catching the big ones on, I mean, if I had focused on that 100% and tried to run that, you know, it's one of those days where it could have been an 80-pound day. So hindsight's 20/20.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
So I had a good day. I rallied back to have a good finish. But yeah, it's still, I didn't make the cut. So I'm the first loser right now. But it felt good to actually just go Jackson fish yesterday. And so I was like, all right, I made good decisions. I had a game plan, a strategy that paid off yesterday, and, just so close. Yep.
So the next time that we, appear at your residence on the road, we fully expect there to be smoked meatloaf and smoked butt, because I understand that the eating here has been pretty darn good.
We have eaten really good this week. Yeah. So the Traeger, so we did, so I've got a old friend of mine, Dale Royal. He's been driving my truck for me a little bit, and I fished my very first tournament ever when I was 14 years old with him.
Really?
Yeah. So Redwood Empire Bass Club. He's sitting over here in a chair right now.
Yeah.
And, so he's come on board this week to just hang out for a few days. He's going to take the rig to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of came up with some recipes. And I heard somebody talk recently about doing a turkey and pork meatloaf. I'm like, that sounds really good. I'm going to try it. So that's what I did. Did turkey, pork, you know, ground turkey, ground pork, all the seasonings, components, all that. Cooked them on the Traeger for hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the best meatloaf I've ever had in my life.
You're killing me right now.
Yeah, it was so good. Yeah. And then we did a butt roast. And they cooked it. So Dale rubbed. Yeah, he prepped it and cooked it. And John Murray actually had to oversee a little bit of it. John doesn't spend a lot of time in the kitchen, people. So that was a big responsibility. I think he cooks at home, just not on the road with us. But the butt roast was like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so good.
Are you going to do
it? It was a 7-pound roast, which we thought we were going to have like, we're going to make like pulled pork tacos, smoked tacos for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, they ate it all. Like four of us.
There's four of you.
Well, I'm going to say there's a 2-pound bone in there, but it's probably only like a pound. So that means we all ate a whole lot more than we did. So yeah, there's enough for maybe lunch today and that's about it.
That's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was good.
We'll see you the next time you fire up the Traeger.
Oh yeah. So you're going to do that. That's
yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. Next time.
All right. I know where I'm going for dinner.
Thanks for your time, dude. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.